to drive digital performance. You need data that you can trust to stay ahead of competitors. At Data AI, we are the first to unify consumer and market data to fuel insights by applying the power of AI. Today, we are the mobile standard. Tomorrow, we will unify and illuminate all digital opportunities. Data AI, level up.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. A trove of documents and other materials from one of the world's most feared hacking groups was leaked online. Who was behind the data dump and what does it tell us about the group's inner workings and potential ties to Russia? On today's show, our cybersecurity reporter Bob McMillan joins us to discuss what we've learned about running a ransomware business. That's after these headlines. The Pentagon is sending six Navy electronic warfare jets to Germany. The jets use jamming sensors to foil enemy radars and can be used to suppress enemy air defense operations. The Pentagon says the jets aren't being used against Russian forces in Ukraine, but rather to bolster defenses on NATO's eastern flank. Tesla says it'll ask shareholders to approve an increase in the number of shares to enable a stock split. The electric vehicle maker didn't specify when such a split would take place or what the ratio of shares would be. 2 years ago, the company enacted a 5-to-1 split, and recently other big tech companies like Amazon and Alphabet announced their own plans for stock splits. Tesla's announcement comes as the company is facing setbacks from COVID-19. Sources say its Shanghai plant has suspended production due to a partial city lockdown to contain an outbreak of the virus. A spokesperson said Tesla is making work arrangements according to the government's policies. Meanwhile, CEO Elon Musk said Monday he'd contracted COVID-19 for a second time, but had no symptoms. The billionaire also said he's, quote, giving serious thought to creating a new social media platform. Musk even took a poll of his followers on Twitter, asking whether they felt the social media network was adhering to free speech principles. More than 70% voted no. Twitter didn't respond to a request for comment. And betting big on hybrid work, HP has agreed to buy Poly, the maker of workplace communications products like headsets and desk phones, for $1.7 billion. HP said the deal will help it grow its hybrid office offerings as workers continue to invest in their home setups and businesses reconfigure traditional office spaces to support hybrid work. The deal is expected to close by the end of the year. All right, coming up, politics in the workplace can be tricky for any business. That even goes for ransomware groups. We'll discuss after the break.
To drive digital performance, you need data that you can trust to stay ahead of competitors. At Data AI, we are the first to unify consumer and market data to fuel insights by applying the power of AI. Today, we are the mobile standard. Tomorrow, we will unify and illuminate all digital opportunities. Data AI, level up.
Ransomware groups pose a growing threat to U.S. businesses. The Treasury Department says banks flagged nearly $600 million in ransomware payments in the first half of last year. But when it comes to the inner workings of ransomware groups, often very little is known. That changed last month when an anonymous researcher leaked documents from one of the most secretive and fearsome hacking groups, known to U.S. federal prosecutors as the TrickBot Group. So, what do these documents tell us about how criminal ransomware groups work, what their goals are, and how they can be stopped? Joining us to discuss this is WSJ cybersecurity reporter Bob McMillan. Hi, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great to be here.
So we're talking about a trove of documents, but what information exactly was leaked and what is that telling us about this group's structure?
Well, this group has had a lot of things leaked. The primary source for our story was a big download of hundreds of thousands of chat messages dating back a couple of years. But they also had source code leaked. They had other internal documents leaked. They basically, somebody decided to just expose as much as he could about this group and try and cause them some pain. But from our perspective, the chat messages, the sort of uncensored, let's just talk to each other as we're doing a business kind of dialogue. It's almost like having a criminal Slack channel handed over to you. So you can just see everything they're talking as they're going around their daily business.
I mean, a Slack channel, though, and their daily business, it makes it sound like a corporation. I mean, how did this group work? What do we know about it now?
Well, this particular channel depicts a group that is remarkably resilient, that is very much virtual. You know, when COVID came, they were ready to work remotely. There was no question about that. Although they did at one point maintain an office in Moscow, according to one of the sources we interviewed. But this is a resilient group that's made up of people from different countries and from different places that work remotely. And they have a number of things they do. I mean, ransomware is a business, really, and it's a complicated business. There's software development, there's hacking into companies, there's managing the ransom demands, there's managing the workers. There's even a customer support element to this, because a lot of people, when they get hacked, they don't even know how to obtain Bitcoin. So the really sophisticated ransomware groups will walk you through that. They'll give you a way of making it easy to pay them. And some of them, like bizarrely, even make it sound like this is a service they're providing. They really are sort of a combination of like The Sopranos and Silicon Valley when you look at the chats.
And what did those chats tell us about the targets that they were focusing on and the tactics that they were using?
Well, to me, the most interesting thing was this incident that occurred in the fall of 2020, just before the election, just as the COVID numbers in the United States were starting to pick up after the summer. And they very consciously decided they were going to go after the healthcare system. And they almost seemed gleeful about the amount of panic that they're going to cause with this attempted attack. Now, if you recall back at this time, the government in the United States was very concerned about this. Security companies were very concerned about this. And ultimately, the attack didn't prove to be as damaging as it could have. I mean, they targeted hundreds of American hospitals, but there was sort of, unbeknownst to them, their intentions had been disclosed to U.S. authorities, and there are people who are very actively working to prevent this attack from working. But what that particular incident said to me was, these people, there's not a line that they won't cross, right? I mean, attacking hospitals during a pandemic, you pretty much are saying that you're willing to kill people when you do that.
Yeah, that's really terrifying. Have these documents exposed any more about the group's motivation and if it goes beyond financial motivation?
Well, you get the day-to-day motivation. You can see who like the sort of the tough bosses are and who, you know, who the dreamers are there. But, you know, very much the motivation is money. And occasionally there are these hints that they are doing things, at least under the with the permission of authorities. In some cases, it seems very much like their activities could be directed by the government there. They go after defense contractors here in the United States. They seem to know things about the FSB and the government agencies in Russia that indicate they have close ties with them. There's not a message saying the FSB is telling us to do, and the FSB is the Russian intelligence service, but there's not a message there saying like, we are now being instructed to attack this sector of the U.S. economy. But it's close to that. And so that's kind of remarkable, too. The reason these chats were leaked in the first place is because one of the ransomware website operated by these people, it's called the Conti Ransomware, it posted a statement very much in support of Russia and sort of threatening to go after infrastructure of anyone who launched a cyber attack against Russia. It was a very pro-Russian statement made right at the beginning of the war in Ukraine. And so that really was very political, and they backtracked off that. 2 days later, just as all these documents were being leaked, the operators of this ransomware group backtracked and said, hey, we're just about the money. Don't think that we're political. But it was a little bit too late at that point.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the leaker. Do we know anything about who this person is, and have they said anything about their specific motivations?
They're very much pro-Ukraine. They are very much trying to hurt the Conti trickbot group here, the criminals involved here. And they basically, as we understand it, were leaking all of these documents. And these are hundreds of thousands of things being leaked here. uploading new documents every day as they were trying to. They were based outside of Ukraine and were trying to get into Ukraine and kind of were on the road, like getting to the center of the conflict, uploading these documents at the same time. It's quite a remarkable story. But we've never talked directly to this person. We only know people who know of who he is. His identity is unknown to us. He obviously had access to the many artifacts belonging to this group for quite a while and was sitting on them and finally just decided to, when he saw that statement of, in support of Russia at the beginning of the war, just decided to dump everything.
You know, for years, the U.S. has accused Russia of supporting hacking groups, something Russia has denied. Do these documents shed more light on the connections between this hacking group in particular and Russia, and has Russia responded to anything?
Yeah, I mean, they do show a kind of familiarity with the Russian intelligence apparatus, let's say. There's no smoking gun there, but you do see that they make reference to buildings, you know, that are part of the Russian intelligence service. They seem to target targets that would only make sense if you were acting on the orders of Russian intelligence. There's not a smoking gun, but it's pretty indicative of a tight relationship, I'd say.
All right. That was our reporter, Bob McMillan. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But before we close out the show, we want to give you the opportunity to send us your tech-related questions about the war in Ukraine. Do you want to know more about how hackers are involved in the war? How Telegram and other social media platforms are being used? Or maybe you want to know how tech companies around the world are reacting. We want to hear all your tech-related questions about the war. Leave us a voicemail at 212-498-8852. We're planning on answering these questions in an upcoming episode. Once again, that number is 212-498-8852. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.